into something a little different here, because from chapter 10 to chapter 25, it's these little couplets of wisdom. Couplets, two things. The wise, the foolish, the diligent, the lazy, the good, the evil, the righteous, the wicked, life, death, couplets, okay? You got it? And we'll have a verse or two verses or maybe three verses that kind of go together. The righteous do this, but the wicked do that. Okay? And so they're not assembled in any order. They're just, it's like random thoughts. You know what it's like? It's like Solomon wrote and said, you know, this is what's going on today, and that would make a good proverb. And he wrote it down in his prayer, proverb journal. In his journal. And then they say, oh, well, this write it down. And so as we go through, they're just kind of random. No consistent theme. We'll find some sections with some theme in it for five verses, something like that. So what we're going to do is we'll start at 10:1, and we'll get a chapter, or two, or three. No, you'd be in the wrong church. If we do three, there's something wrong. We'll just go through these, and we'll just stop wherever we stop, because we can do that, okay? So when we're out of time, we're out of time. If the Lord comes, we'll just go with him, okay? Or if time runs out, we'll just go with the kids. Whatever. Let's pray. Father, we need wisdom. Lord God, this thing just bothers me. This man, I pray for the children, Lord, who have been brutalized. Lord God, heal them. Heal them, Lord. What a theft. He might not have done it, but the photos, he got it from those who did. And Lord, we just pray for your protection. A good name, Lord. A good reputation, that your name wouldn't be blasphemed, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom as we go through these proverbs. Lord, you hear our cries daily. Oh, we're all crying out for this and that. And Lord, we're saying, give me wisdom. Wow, you've given us lots of wisdom right here to digest. I pray, Lord, for the brothers and sisters, myself, Lord. I've got stuff here to help me deal with this very issue. And you have things right here today to help them deal with the issues of life, the things that they're going through, those things that are bothering them. Oh, Lord, we come to you, Jesus, to just sit at your feet, to be ministered to by you, to receive from you. We pray, Lord, that you would just reinvigorate the weary, that you take away the burdens. Pray for my brother Billy, Lord, and just getting ready for that grand opening and all the work that he's been going through over the last few weeks and the push is on. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless him. He's able to be here. We pray for Perry, thanking you, Lord, that you brought him back to us. And we pray, Lord, you'd give him wisdom in showing us the things he saw, the things he learned. And also delivering to us, Lord, what you would have us do. We pray for Eliabert, those in Haiti. We pray your blessing, your hand upon them. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the brothers and sisters here tonight, that you would bless us. Lord, that you would refresh us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I'm ready to go now. I'm fired up. You good? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, The Proverbs of Solomon. Oh, we're in 10. That's the first. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Now, I think a wise son, a mother's pretty glad about that too. And a foolish son, I got to tell you, a father's grieved by that also, right? But man, you've seen it, okay? It was Saturday, and my boy, he broke away. He had the ball. He was on right wing. He was going down the field. He punched it and beat the defender, punched it to open space, beat the defender, boom, kicked the ball. He scores! That's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. Now, when that knucklehead does something foolish, I ask her, what is wrong with that child of yours? Wise son makes his father glad. Foolish, grief of their mother. It's true, isn't it? Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Look, you might store up treasures by being wicked, but in the end, it's the end. That's it. It can't save you from hell. In fact, that wickedness might help you get there just a little faster. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he cast away the desires of the wicked. You know, during Katrina, oh man, that was a tough time for a lot of y'all. A lot of our brothers and sisters, they're not here anymore. And they went through some tough things. And Psalm 37, in it, David writes, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. I've tried to understand that verse. And when Katrina hit, I thought, all right, I'm going to see. You know what? I didn't see the righteous forsaken. I talked to some righteous people who had lost everything, but they weren't forsaken. The people that in our fellowship who lost everything, the Lord used that in their life. And what would have been disaster turned out to be blessing. Robert and Eve Hoag, I got to tell you, oh, we sat, we had spaghetti with them, with Eve crying. And this church had $20,000 in the bank at that time. $20,000, that was it. And I told Eve, I said, I don't know how, but the Lord's going to rebuild your house. And I thought, oh, Lord, we have $20,000. That's not going to cover it. But the Lord was faithful. And people came and they rebuilt their house and they ended up selling it. They were going to sell it before Katrina. They ended up selling it, got more money, went to Texas, bought a house. They scored. I mean, it was a terrible thing. You don't want to score that way. You know what I mean? It was a tragedy, but coming through it, the Lord blessed them. And there's others and that went through the same thing. And I saw that this is true, that the Lord is not going to allow his saints to famish. We might think so. We might freak out. We got an email from Brandy for Ben, a company that he's a telecommunications company that he's looking at getting a job. And what I saw there was, well, he got laid off a year ago. Yet he's still eating. The Lord still provided. It's not what he wanted to go through, but the Lord has taken him through this and is taking him through this. The Lord is there for us. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. If you're lazy, you're going to be poor. If you're diligent, you're going to make rich. If you're diligent, if you're faithful in what the Lord has given you to do, you're going to be rich. Maybe not rich monetarily, but you're going to be rich and you're going to make rich. Those other people that you touch with your life, you're going to bless them. They're going to be blessed by you because you're faithful, because you're diligent. You're faithful to do what the Lord has given you to do. And if you do that, man, the blessings that God gives you is going to overflow and touch other people's lives. It makes rich the diligent. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. In the Midwest, they say, you got to make hay while the sun shines. Right, John? You do that in Missouri? Is that Midwest? Who said, Okay, well. Hey, Vince is coming back in another week. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Great things have happened also. He's up in Nebraska, and they make hay when the sun's shining in Nebraska, okay? Yeah, they do. Not lately, not right now. Look, you only have so long to bring in the harvest. When the fruit is ripe, you got to go get it, right? It is a pity to have fruit on the vine rot away. You know what? This is not only true on the farm, it's true in the faith too. There's only so long. Jesus said, behold, the fields are white unto harvest. I think the time of harvest is almost over. I think the fields are ripe. Man, where else is there hope? Where else is there hope? Real hope. Apart from Christ, there is no hope. We need to be wise sons and wise daughters and get out in the fields while the harvest is on the vine. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. For us to be out sharing. Kids on my bus, fifth graders, they're arguing Friday. Do you think Jesus is really God? Wow. Wow, yeah. I've got the Gospel of John's forum. You know, we're getting back into the discussion, and hey, the fields are wide unto harvest. Now's the acceptable time. Today's the day of salvation. We need to be gathering. We need to be reaping where we didn't sow. I mean, time is running out here. I was listening to Hal Lindsey again. Every time I listen to Hal Lindsey, I think Jesus is coming, like before I'm done listening to him. You know, it's like, oh yeah, Hal, right on. Yeah, absolutely. It's a time of harvest. This is it. In verses 6 and 7, we have a comparison of the righteous and the wicked. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The name of the wicked. See, that name is very important. We want to protect our name, right? I mean, you think of names. How many people name their kid Judas? Hitler. Well, there are some wackadoos that have actually done that. This is my son, Idi Amin. We want to preserve our name. We want people to remember us well. We want to be a blessing. Even after we're gone. You know, I keep everything that I teach, because I think that someday, somewhere, somebody might benefit from it. Either we got it on the internet, or but I've got it in a notebook. This is what I think, okay? I'm wackadoo, okay? You already knew that because you looked it up and you found out I really was. She Googled wackadoo and found out. Yeah. Had a picture of a guy. Yeah. Wackadoo. Okay, really. This is what I think. I think Jesus is coming. I mean, really, I think he's coming for me, for his church. I think he's coming. And okay, I don't think my clothes are going to be all folded. I think they're going to look like I just took them off. They're going to be on the bedroom floor, baby. I'm, you know, on that little chair in the bedroom. That's where they're going to be. I'm going to be gone. And I think that when we're gone, people are going to want to know. And there's all these white notebooks that have these things in them. So in case anybody wants to know, because the computer isn't going to work, right? I don't think it's going to work. I think things are going to shut down. But if you can read, well, here's some things to read. And I want to leave something behind, and I want to leave a legacy behind. And that's the legacy of the righteous, and that's what you want to leave behind too, for your children and for your grandchildren and for your neighbors and for the people that you've met and the people that you know. You want to leave them something that they'll remember you when you're gone. Yeah? Verse 8. Man, we're not getting very far. I've got to speed this up. I've got 16 pages tonight. We're on page 3. Yeah, well, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. I had to go get a different version because I didn't know what prating was. Okay, but the NASB and the NIV, they translate it babbling. A babbling fool. A what? Prattling. Yeah, a prattling. A prating fool, a prattling fool. It's a babbling fool. It's literally a chattering mouth. A chattering mouth. Just chatter, chatter, chatter. You cannot instruct that person. They won't shut up long enough to receive. They're going to tell you. No, I'm trying. No, really, I'm trying to help you. No, but it's. The wise will receive commands. The babbling fool won't. And that's why he's going to fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely. But he who perverts his ways will become known. Hey, if you're walking rightly, you're following the Lord, you're on solid ground. You're secure. If you're not, if you're playing a game, if you're wearing a mask, if you're a hypocrite, don't worry. It's all going to come out. It's all going to be exposed. It's just a matter of time. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. We already know he's going to fall because he's da 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 da. He who winks with an eye. You know, the guy that tells you something, hey, you're really looking good today. you're scaring me, dude. Causes trouble. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The words of the righteous are full of life. They're like a well. They bring refreshment to others. They refresh people. But the violent, the wicked, their mouth, it's just violence. It doesn't refresh. It doesn't help anyone. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Man, we got to hang with this one for a little bit, okay? A little bit, whatever. This verse is quoted and applied for us in the New Testament. Peter quotes it in 1 Peter 4:8. You might remember this. He said, above all things, have fervent love, a love that is on fire. Fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You remember? Love, it brings about peace. It brings about peace. It overlooks. It forgets the faults of others. Don't you love that about the Lord? That he takes our sins and he kicks them into the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's that person that you don't like. You know that person, don't you? That you don't like. Man, they have just been rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. They have maligned you. They've bugged you. They have caused you grief. And you're just waiting for the day that you get the dirt on them. Right? That's the flesh. Y'all understand that? That's not the spirit. That's the flesh that wants to stir up strife, cause others pain and grief, agony. That's not love. Love wants to prevent strife, grief, agony, and pain. Love covers all sins. You see a brother or a sister that's in sin. They know it. You know it. They're doing things that they shouldn't do. They might even come to you and confess their sins. How do you respond to that? What do you do? Well, it depends. Do I like them? It doesn't matter if you like them. Do you love them? Will you love them? See, you could go and you could take that and you could use that against them. You could cause them grief. You could stir up trouble for them. Oh, they probably deserve it. Just like you deserve it. But grace, it's getting, it's giving what you don't deserve. Love covers a multitude of sins. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, if someone's caught up in sin, he says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I heard about a brother, and I was ticked. You know me, right? 0 to 80. I was hot. His wife called me. She told me, do you want me to confront him? No, no. Why are you calling me then? I want you to pray. I prayed, and I wanted to punch him in the mouth. Because I want to punch me in the mouth sometimes. You know? Sin is ugly. And the brother called me and told me. And you know what? I had a love for him that I didn't have before. I wanted to hug him. I wanted to be with him and let him know that I'm for him. And the Lord's for him. Man, the Lord's for him, isn't he? What? Whose side do I want to be on? Whose side do you want to be on? James. You've heard of James? He wrote a book about practical Christianity, hard-hitting, doer of the word, James. This is his last words in that book. We'll get to it. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love one another. Not seek harm for each other. I mean, we're all messed up. We all blow it. We all stumble along the way. Oh, we want to be perfect saints, and gosh, I do. Well, I hope that for you anyway. I expect more from you. But when we stumble, we need brothers and sisters to love us, who won't punch us in the mouth, who will come and hug our necks and tell us, man, I'm for you, I love you. And then leave that sin there. His brother said, I'm so embarrassed. I told him, look, it's safe with me. I love you. Love covers a multitude of sins. We cover it. Look, covering sin and enabling sin are not the same thing. Do you understand? We confront sin. We say, hey, this is wrong. This thing that you're doing is wrong. You need to repent from that. And then we protect that brother, that sister. We cover them. We protect them. We help them in love. We cover them in love. You get it? We don't enable in love. That's not loving. It's not loving to help someone to continue on in sin. Oh, but I don't want to confront. Yeah, you're scared. You're not loving. You're just a coward. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Now, in verses 13 and 14, we have a contrast between the wise and the fool. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. I love this. The wise store up knowledge. Man, I'm just learning stuff. I'm storing it up. There's going to come a day I'm going to be able to use it. Might be driving the bus and somebody could say, is Jesus really God? Whoa! I think John 1 has something to say about that. Storing up knowledge for when you can use it, you know? So I prepared this, and then I read some commentaries. The things about these Proverbs, don't spend too much time on them, because the more time you spend on them, the more time there is to spend on them. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger. But right here, I read the coolest thing from J. Vernon McGee. My dearly beloved. He was talking about his ministry. And his ministry wasn't always, you know, back to the Bible bus or whatever it is. It wasn't always the radio thing and conference speaker and that. He was a pastor in a little church in Texas. For 10 or 15 years, little tiny church. I see these guys, these pastors, big name pastors, you know, and they're out and about and they're doing all this stuff. And then I hear them teaching and I'm going, wow. When do they have time to prepare? J. Vernon. those 10, 15 years? He says, I was preparing. Pastor Chuck, some 20 years. Little tiny church. 20 years. How long did you prepare for the teaching? All my life. Storing up knowledge. That when that opportunity arises, you have a word in season that will bless somebody, that will encourage someone. The foolish guys, what are they going to give you? What are they going to tell you? I've spent all my life doing nothing, learning nothing, fighting against God, but I've got advice for you. Ooh, get away from me. I don't want your advice. The rich man, check this out, verse 15. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. Yeah. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Huh? What? I had a tough time with this. But I was driving the bus. The bus is a holy place. Okay, I was calling it the rolling petri dish because of all the germs. But once you get the little boogers off, then it's the rolling tabernacle. I mean, there's worship, there's prayer. I hope they review the tapes when I'm alone, you know? Go, man, we got to get this guy off the bus. He's a wackadoo. I'll sing old songs too. This is funny. Anyway, I was thinking about this today. The rich man's wealth is a strong city. We can all understand that, right? The fortress. My money, it's going to protect me. Whatever comes my way, I got the money. Right? Yeah, y'all understand that. No problem. But the destruction of the poor is their poverty. I don't get this. Look, if I'm focused on money, I'm going to look to it as my supply. What's going to take care of me, right? Whether I'm rich or poor, I'm going to have that attitude about money, that is the thing that's going to take care of me. Now, if I'm rich, no problema, because I've got the money, right? But if I'm poor, I need to get the money. Oh, I might do things that will destroy my life in the pursuit of money. We're going to get to Proverbs chapter 30. Agur, the son of Jacob. He writes this, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full, fat, and happy, and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So either too much money, being rich or poor with a focus on money, can lead to destruction. You there? The labor of the righteous leads to life. The wages of the wicked, to sin. A life of righteous living leads to eternal life. On the other hand, the wages of sin, it's death. Eternal separation from God. Not just eternal separation from God. You know, that's too mild, isn't it? How about what Jesus says? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire never goes out. Okay, so you're separated from God and in hell. That's much worse. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. If you're following instruction, you're going the right way. If you don't, you're going to get lost. 18 through 20, 21, we have proverbs that refer to our lips, to our mouth, to the things that we say. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Oh, it's so good to see you. I can't stand your stinking guts. I run into people who have spoken bad of me. See, look, if you're a pastor, you get this benefit in your life. Some people aren't going to be real happy with you, okay? And I ran into this one particular individual, and I just see it in my mind, just this smile and nice words. And I know the guy's talking about me, because people are telling me. This is what he's saying. Oh. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. That's what I'm worried about with this, is the spread of slander. Have mercy, Lord. Be merciful. You can be foolish not realizing what you're doing. Be careful with your lips. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. We talked about this with the tongue. The more you talk, the better are your chances of saying something you wish you didn't say. The more you talk, the better chance you have of sinning with your lips. That's all I have to say. But the fire burned within me. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Again, the words of the righteous are a blessing to others. Your words. You can bless others with them. But the words of the wicked, they don't help anybody. They tear down. They don't build up. They destroy. They don't create. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Man, there are people, lifestyles of the rich and famous. I'm Robin Leach. I like to hang around rich people because I'm a leech. I don't know. Maybe he's not. It's just a fascinating name to have and hang out with rich people. There's people with money that think they've got it going on. You know? I've got it all. Living the good life. They best make the most of it that they can. Because this is as good as it's going to get for them. However, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. There are no regrets. Now or into eternity. Oh, I wish. Oh, I'm following the Lord. I wish I wouldn't have done that. You're not going to be saying that. Well, you might say, man, I wish I would have followed him earlier in life. That's what I say. That's the only regret I have, is that I wasted too many years. I'm not missing out anything right now. I'm in fellowship with Almighty God. It just makes my head crazy. Wackadoo. I was normal before that. That's what happened. God wants to talk to me. Oh. I mean, that's mind-blowing. He wants to have fellowship with us. And I'm preparing for eternity, getting ready for blast off. And I'm going to be in heaven, and I'm told that he wipes away every tear. There's no more death and no more sorrow and no crying. No pain in the former things. They passed away and he makes all things new. Where's regret in that? There is none. To do evil is like sport to a fool. But a man of understanding has wisdom. No sport in that. Some of you might have lived that life where, I don't know, I just did when I was young. I'd go looking for trouble. Golly, you don't have to look very far to find it. My gosh, how foolish. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. You'll have to help me out with that one, because I'm not really sure what the fear of the wicked is. You know, I guess it's just calamity. You know, something bad's going to happen to me would be the, you know, fear of the wicked. I'm gonna get caught doing what I'm doing. That would be fearful. I'm going to get sick and die. I don't know. Not sure what that is. Calamity. Well, hell is pretty much calamity. That's about as bad as it gets, wouldn't you say? And the desire of the righteous will be granted. Do you think of Psalm 37? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Man, when we find our joy, when we find our delight in the Lord, joy in the Lord, He'll place these new desires in our heart, desires for things that are new and different, things that are holy and righteous and good. And he puts those desires in our heart, and we start, yeah, I think I'd like to do that. Okay. He gives us the desire. He causes us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He gives us the desire, and then he grants that desire. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Remember what Jesus said? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up. And the house on the sand went splat. Oh, yeah, the house on the rock stood firm. Yeah. And then we got to do the whole splat thing all over again, right? It was, I got a kid named Noah. And so today, after I dropped Noah off, he was the last kid. The Lord told Noah to build him an archy-archy. Yeah, he shouldn't be driving bus for kids. Yeah, I'm going to see him one of these days. Yeah, we pulled your tape. All right. How we doing? We're still doing okay. We've made it to verse 26, chapter 1, or chapter 10. As vinegar to the teeth. Do you know what vinegar to the teeth is? And smoke to the eyes. Now look, I thought I'm going to take a little vinegar and put it on my teeth, but I don't think I better do that, because smoke to the eyes isn't a good thing. And so I'm thinking the vinegar to the teeth is just not a good thing, okay? Smoke to the eyes is irritating, right? Okay. So is the lazy man to those who send him. Oh, yeah. Or boy. Go out and... Oh, man. You'll get irritated. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. You know that's true. The wicked? Man, they have a shortened lifespan. Why? It catches drugs, alcohol, the people you hang with. Sometimes you actually hang with them. A shortened lifespan. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. When we die, we will see him face to face. Wow. I don't know. Wow. Now the wicked, they don't believe. You know, when you die, you're just food for the worms. When the righteous die, man, there's gladness. When a saint dies, oh man, we have a coronation festival, don't we? Graduation day. They've gone to go be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But the wicked, oh, be merciful, Jesus. Don't know what happened those last moments. Right? And when the wicked die, things just aren't going to turn out for them the way they thought. If they would have thought about it, they would have followed the Lord. But they believed the lie. Satan. There's no God. This is it. Just try to be a good person. Their expectations perish with them because they see him. And they know that he is who he said he is. And they know that they denied him and rejected him. And their expectations of what they expected to see when they die isn't what they actually see. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. No, that's true. Terrifying thing to come into the hands of the Almighty God. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The righteous will never be removed because they've built their house upon the rock. They have that strong foundation in the Lord. The wicked think they're going to take the world by force. I'm going to grab hold of it. I'm going to conquer. It will be mine. Jesus said, the meek will inherit the earth. You know, we often think of meekness as weakness, don't you? Baby Jesus, meek and mild. Meekness is strength under control. Jesus was meek, humble. He's the strongest man that ever lived. The only one that could redeem us. The only one that could pay the penalty for our sins. He is meek, but it's strength under control. Hey, we're going to finish. Let's finish this chapter, okay? The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Again, the words of the righteous build up. They exhort. They edify. They're helpful. They bring forth wisdom. But the mouth of the wicked, it's perverse. It's twisted. Perverted. It means twisted. It's not straight. It's crooked. Nothing good is going to come from it. Let's pray. Father, we come. We thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that Lord, you have become wisdom for us. You are our wisdom. And Lord, as we study these proverbs, we pray, God, that you would give us wisdom, that you would teach us. Maybe one proverb per person, one or two, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that we would gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we go through these. In your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, well, we got one chapter, okay?